Welcome home, everyone. Thank you for joining in on this episode of Welcome Home with the Katinas. Welcome Home is a podcast where I, your host Josh, sit down for a conversation with different people who I admire and discuss whatever's on their mind, and especially focus on life at home in times like this. Wherever you are and however you're listening, thank you for your support, and once again, welcome home. Welcome, everybody. Thank you for joining in on this week's episode of Welcome Home with the Katinas. Hope everyone is having a great week. I want to start off the show by giving a quick shout out to all of the graduates and families of graduates who are celebrating graduation this week, this month, during this time. I know the Katina family in particular has a couple of graduations that we're celebrating. I know that we have several Love Squared seniors who are graduating from their high schools. It's that time of year. And so I wanted to recognize those of you who are finishing your education or moving on to a new stage in your education, and also the parents and grandparents and aunts and uncles and families of those who are graduating. Nobody graduates on their own. There's always a team of people behind them who carry them through that season. So I just wanted to recognize that and congratulate everyone who is celebrating a graduation, whether it be now or in the near future. I hope everyone is celebrating accordingly. So as we move into today's episode, I have a returning guest to the show. To be honest, I'm not sure at this point how many times he's been on the show. It's at least twice, maybe three times. I don't know. But it's someone who is very close to me, very important to me, someone who I love and respect a lot. And it's my brother, Eli Katina. I'd like to welcome him to the show. Eli, thank you for being here, bro.
Thanks, Josh. Love you, dude. It's an honor to be here. It's my third time. Third. I'm pretty sure. Okay. I know I've done it at least twice. I was trying to think, too. Did you ever do this at your first apartment in Franklin?
I did.
So that's pretty cool. I think this is our third location, maybe.
So you've been on the show. You were there at the apartment?
I was there at the apartment, and then I think maybe we did one at the Katina's office. Maybe. Maybe not.
Probably.
No, this is second. We did the last one here.
I feel like maybe we've done two here before.
Yeah, this is our second one here.
No, I think that this might be our third.
I never did one at the apartment.
I think we did one at the apartment, and then this is our third one at this house.
Wow. So this is my fourth time.
I think, yeah. Unless you were on one of the shows.
Maybe.
I've had a few seasons of recording at the Katina's office, so I don't know if you were ever.
I don't think I was.
Part of those. Okay.
What season are you on?
Well, we don't really go by seasons. I guess I'm still on season one. I was just saying, like, I've gone through
one long season.
Yeah, I've gone through phases. It's funny you ask that, because on the distribution service that we use to like upload these podcasts to the streaming platforms, every time I upload a new episode, I have to put in like what episode number and what season we're on. And I just put season one for every single one. So technically, this is still season one.
I have a proposal.
Okay.
I think this should be the finale. And I think the next one is the premiere of season two.
All right.
Feels appropriate. Kids are graduating. I'm headed into a new season of life. So are you. And I think that our viewers and listeners are ready for a season two.
Okay. Well, I will consider that, and I'll let you know, I guess, next week whenever I upload the episode. I don't even know why I have to pick a season. I guess, I don't know, maybe on Spotify or whatever, some shows separate their seasons or whatever, but yeah, I guess maybe we're due for a season two, but
maybe
this can be our finale. Well, anyways, I think this is episode 155, I believe.
It's time.
Yeah. It's crazy. So in July of this year, we'll have been doing the podcast for 4 years. Yeah.
Wow.
Because we started in 2021. The first episode released July of 2021. I recorded that first episode probably in like the winter of 2021. So, but yeah, it's been 4 years almost since the podcast launched.
This is crazy. That is crazy.
And you've been there from the beginning at that first apartment.
Yeah.
We started recording at, and I'm glad to have you back. I would love to ask you a lot of questions, but I guess I'll just start out with the simplest one that I have, and that is, Eli, what is going on at home?
Let's go. A lot. I wasn't sure. So it's been at least 2 years since I've been on the podcast, and because of a variety of things, I haven't been able to tune in as much as I've wanted to, and I wasn't sure if that was still the first question. So it's good to know that you're being consistent.
Well, honestly, I don't always ask that question anymore, but okay. I felt like that's an appropriate question for you.
Yeah. Home is, we're in transition right now. We're super excited. So we listed our house. I'll ask like the actual home and then the deeper layer of that question. But our actual house is being sold right now. Mm-hmm. So we close on our house this Wednesday. It's Monday today, so in 2 days. And then we get the keys for our new house that we bought on Friday. And then we start the remodel for our new 1970s ranch home basically next week after Memorial Day. So we're super excited about that. We were not planning on moving. We were not in the market by any means. Like everyone, we're like, well, you know, we'd like a nicer home, or which we're potentially downgrading in actual like, it won't be a downgrade once we finish, but it's, it was a Sunday night at like 6:30 in April, and Dad called and he was showing this house that no one was really interested into because it needed a lot of work. And he was like, you and Amelia should come look at it because we've been wanting a bigger yard. And we went and looked at it and made an offer, and they accepted the offer. Then we sold our house a week later, and here we are. So what's going on at home? A lot of changes. I'm moving back in with Mom and Dad during the remodel. So we will be there hopefully no longer than 3 months, potentially four. So that's been cool and nostalgic and kind of weird being 26, living at home again. It's been 8 years since I've lived with Mom and Dad.
Wow.
And now I have a toddler who turns 2 tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And so lots of changes of what our actual physical home looks like as far as like relationships and life. And me and Amelia are both super blessed and grateful for our son, who's added a ton to our life. And we celebrate 5 years of marriage this fall, which is exciting. Amelia's pursuing her doula certification right now. So she's going through some, I don't know if schooling is the right training for that, but she's excited. Awesome. My career is going well. Things are going well.
Yeah,
we're excited. Great. We're happy, healthy, and grateful.
That's awesome. You're obviously, I know about you and Amelia's housing situation, and you guys moving back in with Mom and Dad for a season and buying a new house. And I don't know why, but just while you were talking about kind of that whole situation, I was thinking about the series that we're going through at church, Church of the City. Our pastor, Darren Whitehead, who's been on the show before, is going through the book of Esther. And he's talking about, I'll say that this is what I'm getting from it, is
being able to recognize God's providence in mundane things in your life. And like how, you know, just because maybe God didn't raise someone from the dead or heal the sick or turn water into wine, that doesn't mean that miracles aren't still happening. And basically, like, the idea of God guides us to different places in our lives for a purpose. There is not, we're not just leaves in the wind getting scattered, directionless and purposeless, but God puts us in places for a reason. And I think that the way that you described you and Amelia finding your guys' new home kind of reminds me of that. It's like, it's not like you guys were necessarily out actively looking for it. It's not like you didn't have a place to live already. I mean, it's just that it was just something that was presented to you and you guys, you know, counted the cost and said yes. And yeah. I think, you know, I'm excited for, I think that, you know, I know our house does not define us, but it is a big part of who we are and big part of our lives, at least.
Yeah.
He spent a lot of time there. I think that God has a purpose and a plan for you and Amelia and Josiah's next move. And I'm curious, like, do you feel like there was any, when you guys were making your decision to move, like you said, you weren't planning on doing this. It just kind of happened.
Yeah.
As you're experiencing it now, and even as you look back over the past several weeks and months, like, do you see any, is it possible for you to see any, like, interventions?
God ordained.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe. It's a good question. Anytime I hear about, I think about, you use the words like God's providence or like the presence of God in our day-to-day lives. I always feel convicted when I hear people talk about that because I don't think I'm actively on the lookout for God's provision or like presence in my life. And I usually see the evidence way after it happens. So it's still pretty fresh right now. I think, my genuine answer is I don't know. I do think one thing I've lived off of since I think I was 17 when I heard someone say this, it's like God always leads out of peace. Like the quickest or the most consistent way to discern God's voice versus our voice is what do we have peace about? And even though we didn't plan moving is I think it's one of the top three stressors in a marriage. I think it's like moving, kids, and
career change.
Yeah. So, which we've had all of that wrapped up in the past 36 months.
I think that they say those are like the three things you're not supposed to do in the first year of your marriage.
Makes sense. Yeah, that makes sense. So, I have peace about it. I'm not really stressed. Maybe I'm naive. Or maybe it's something bigger, you know, which, so I think the evidence of God through this transition is definitely the sense of peace I have. I'm not concerned. I know that there's things that, will come up that we're planning for and not planning for and everything in between. And, it'll all work out or it won't, but we'll know soon enough. So.
How is it? Was last night your first night like staying at mom and dad's house?
Second night. Yep.
How is it like just living back in your childhood home?
It's still pretty fresh. We're so lucky. Like we live 6 minutes away pre-move to mom and dad's house. So we've spent a lot of time at their house. I mean, I was there at least twice a week, sometimes three times a week, either for dinner or picking up Josiah, or we're there a lot during the summer because they have a pool. So it doesn't feel super foreign, but it's a, dude, our house was nice, man. Like the, I forgot how nice our mom and dad's house
was. Oh, you're talking about the childhood
home? Yeah, dude. It's a nice house. Uh-huh. Big bedrooms, you know, all the things. Mm-hmm. So I enjoy it. I don't, it's not weird.
Was there,
which maybe that's good.
Has there been any, like, I'm sure there's, like, some nostalgia with, like, being back there. Like, any memories that are even just, like, waking up and mom and dad are there in the house with you that, like,
yeah,
that has triggered in you? Like,
I don't know. It's still fresh. I think everyone, here's what's funny. Like, when we told our close friends and family or, like, what our living situation was going to be, it's not something that, like, we announced, like, we're moving back in with our parents, but anytime it has come up, everyone's reaction has been like, oh man, like that sounds like a lot, you know, mm-hmm. or that sounds like, how do you feel about that? Or they kind of have questions like, are you excited? Are you nervous?
Sure.
Are you dreading it? And maybe it's just a testament to, the way our parents have stayed in relationship with us as we've started our own families is, it feels, I don't know if it feels natural, but it doesn't feel like a big change. Probably because within the scope of the decisions that we've been making and the other changes that are happening, like living at home, like where I'm sleeping and like showering feels like a relatively minor thing on my to-do list than remodeling our house and financing it and all that stuff. So I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I can understand all of that. I think, I don't know. I agree with you. Mom and dad have a really nice house. So
yeah,
you could be doing a lot worse.
For sure. Yeah.
And, I don't know. You didn't really answer my question. Like, was there any, like, any flashbacks that you had, like, oh, I remember, even, yeah, I don't know, because are you sleeping in
my room? Yeah,
your
my old room.
Is Josiah in my room?
In your old room?
Oh,
that's crazy. I know. I think they did it because of the windows or something. No, there hasn't been any nostalgia that I can think of. But it's also been 2 days, so I'm sure it'll strike me.
Sure,
I think. Do you have, you're at mom and dad's house. What's your nostalgic moments when you go?
Oh,
over
I don't know. I mean,
when's the last time you slept over at mom and dad's house?
I think, I don't know. Maybe the night before my wedding, honestly.
Hmm.
That might have been it because I moved back.
Is that 3 years, 4 years ago?
Almost 4 years ago. I moved back into mom and dad's house like, I think it was like 2 months before I got married. Alexis moved in here and I was living up with mom and dad. So I stayed there for like a handful of weeks. And then I remember like Alexis and I got married. So I was staying at mom and dad's house. I stayed there up until literally the night before our wedding. And then we got married. We went on the honeymoon and then I came home. And I think mom and dad had like, I had already moved most of my stuff into this house. Whatever was left, mom and dad already moved it here. So I never really had like a goodbye to my childhood room or like that house. So
yeah,
I don't know. It's been 4 years since I've been there and I have no plans of going back. So I don't know. I'm just curious, like, what that's like being in your childhood home. I also feel like it's cool for you and, specifically you, to see your son, like, living in the house that you grew up in.
Yeah, it is cool. He loves it. It's, what's crazy is, like, Amelia and I dated in high school. So when we were teenagers, like, that was the house. We didn't spend a lot of time hanging out at the house, but, like, she's part of my childhood, at least like teenage, adolescent years, was spent with Amelia. We were just dating. And then, yeah, it's a full circle moment for sure. Me and Amelia were talking about that. Our first night there, it was like, man, it's crazy. Like, we're staying in the room that I grew up in, but she's also, she's familiar with the house and our toddlers across the room, you know, across the hall. So definitely full circle moment, definitely a short-term situation, God willing.
Yeah.
And, that, I think that is the hard part. Maybe that's what's unique is, sometimes, like, the sadness of saying goodbye to a house is outweighed by the excitement of a newer home that's, you know, you're making memories in and making your own and you're excited about. And with this situation, that will just be delayed. So I'm sure, but I'm thankful that when we move in, it will be headed, like, straight into the holiday season. So we'll have, like, our first Thanksgiving at a new house and our first Christmas at a new spot.
Right.
And, but we're going to spend some holidays at Mom and Dad's house, like Josiah's second birthday, which is tomorrow.
Yeah.
So
like you said, Josiah's turning two tomorrow. What is like, you are the father of a 2-year-old basically. What are like the new things that are going on in Josiah's life? Like, what does turning two bring to the table?
He's just the best, dude. So it brings new things every day. He's kind of developing, like, he has his own things that he attends, which feels new. Like, when they're their first year of life, they're just with you to all your stuff, you know, other than, like, checkup appointments. But he goes to swim lessons. He goes to gymnastics. They do a Toddler Tuesdays at the Franklin Library. So he's coming to the age where he's old enough to attend like his own events that are just for him. He's talking a lot. He's learning lots of new words. He's super just, it's cool seeing the curiosity of a toddler and, it's, I don't know how to articulate this. Sometimes I think we forget, like, our life experience and all the things that we know, like, we learned, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know. It's easy for me to think that, like, I've just been who I am just because of, you know, it's Monday. Like, this is everything I know and everything I can do, I've always known and been able to do, which is not true. So seeing someone or a person, specifically a toddler, like, start from their baseline of, like, they know nothing and they're absorbing all of this information and their minds are blown by relatively small things is really cool and fun to watch.
What is a lesson that you've been either teaching him or seeing him learn recently?
That's a good question. What do you define, like, a lesson?
Just like something that he's learning about life that he'll carry with him hopefully forever, if there is anything.
Yeah. I think that's around the corner. I don't know if he's learning like any lifelong lessons yet, as far as like,
I mean, it doesn't have to be like profound. I mean,
he's learning like how to use a fork.
Yeah.
And I mean, I use forks, so he's learning that. He's learning how to ask for things nicely.
Yeah, that's big.
He's learning how to do a somersault, which he's got down pretty much. He can bear crawl. He can do giraffe walks. He can walk backwards. He knows animal sounds. I'm trying to think of like deeper level things.
Well, so maybe this will help you. So like, are there any things, what are you telling him about himself that you want him to know about himself?
That's a good question. I think, this was less recent. So my son is like off the charts on his height and weight.
Mm-hmm.
He looks like his mom. He's got my build. And the first year of his life, everyone would always comment on how big he was, which is a super harmless thing to do, right? And it's kind of natural. Like, oh, you're so big, you're so big, you're so big. And when he started talking, he would always, he started saying like, oh, I'm too big. Like, I can't do things because I'm too big. He wouldn't say it like that, but he was reciting back what he heard. Yeah. And Amelia and I made, which mainly came from Amelia, because she's way smarter than I am. She made the conscious effort, probably once you turned about a year, to start describing him and affirming him and giving him words about himself other than, I'm so big, you know, or I'm too big. So I think, which I'm so thankful that I married someone who like thinks of that. Like I would have never thought of that as a harmful, feels like too extreme of a word, but I just never would have thought about the effect that that can have on a kid until she brought it up. So we're consciously making the effort to describe him and give him words to speak about himself other than his size.
Yeah.
Because he is really big. Uh-huh. And there's nothing wrong with being a big kid. Like that, we're not, that can be true, but there's more to the story than just him being really big. So right. I think we're trying to teach him that how he, even at a young age, which I'm sure parents of teenagers like really resonate with this, but we're so much more than our appearance. There's more to us than the way that we look and our physical attributes don't define our identity. Yeah. So
I think that's awesome.
Yeah.
I think that's really wise of you guys.
There's a lesson.
I mean, I don't know if you ever felt like this, because I feel like we were both big kids for our age. And
still not small.
Yeah. But like growing up, I was always pretty tall for my age and big. And I do think that became part of my identity.
Yeah.
Especially like those like late elementary school through like high school years, basically.
Yeah.
Like, I think I often, you know, I don't know what the, there's like this stereotype that big kids, especially big young men, like try to make themselves smaller to like fit in, you know, like, I know in like basketball, this is how I can describe it, but like in basketball, being big is to your advantage, right?
Yeah.
But there's a lot of times with like young kids, like the big kids, it's hard to get them to play like they're big kids.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
Because their whole life they've been told, oh, you're so tall, you're so big, and they internalize that and they try and make themselves smaller when their size, which is one of their greatest advantages in the game, they're afraid to use it. And I don't know. Yeah. I feel like I probably dealt with some of that growing up, because I'm sure I was told, like, Josiah, oh, you're so big all the time.
Yeah.
Just like I'm sure you were, too. So
yeah,
I think, not that anyone was ever trying to hurt me by that, but it's important. I can see how it would be important to parents to tell your kid, hey, tell them things about themselves more than just, oh, you're big
or
you're tall. But
you're
also, you're smart and you're kind and you're
right,
a leader, all those things.
Yeah, no doubt.
You and Millie, how long are you guys about to be married for?
5 years in October.
So that's kind of a milestone.
I know, dude. Yeah.
Do you guys have any plans for the 5th anniversary?
Yeah, we're excited. We bought a new house and we're remodeling it. So that's our anniversary gift. No, we were talking. I don't know if you resonate with this, which this feels so contrary to how we were raised. Maybe this is the reason. I'm going to unpack this while I describe it. I'm not good at celebrating things. And when I say I'm not good, it's not natural for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's, part of it is who I am. The other part of it feels like it's a weak spot that I could get better at. But you'd think of growing in a I felt like we were really celebrated as kids and as a family. Like, I know what it looks like to honor and celebrate people. And celebrating myself or anything that has to do with me doesn't really come natural. And I want to get better at that. So we don't have any plans of how we're going to celebrate our fifth anniversary, because part of it, like, I don't know, like, what a good balance is of, I don't really know how to celebrate myself, yeah. Which I've learned about myself over the past 6 months.
It's funny. It's funny you say that. So I agree with you. I feel like I don't love celebrating.
Why are things. We like that?
Well, I don't know why you're like that.
Why are you like it?
I have... I'm not going to say this person's name, but I have this memory.
I'm going to say it.
You don't know. You, but I have this memory. This came up a few months ago when our friend Jeremy Williams had me over and a bunch of other people over to have this guy kind of, he was, I can't even remember the guy's name, but he basically...
Oh, Steve Pietermeyer.
Sorry, Steve. Steve kind of walked us through. He's this really wise guy and just sharing some wisdom with us. It was kind of like a miniature retreat, I guess you could say. But one of the things he talked about is like whenever we have visceral reactions to things, whether it be something triggers fear in us or anger in us or shame or whatever it is.
Yeah.
He has a practice of thinking about, okay, where did that start?
Yeah.
Like, why does this make you afraid? And one of those things for me that I have always thought about myself and never really understood why was, and it's like a minor thing, but it's really not that minor if you like dig deeper, is that I've always thought about myself that I'm not good at giving gifts. I've always felt like I'm not good at like picking out a good gift for somebody.
Yeah.
Or I'm insecure about that.
Yeah.
And when I was, I want to say I was like maybe 7 or 8. I don't remember how old I was, but it was like one of the first Christmases where I like actually had, somehow I had money to like buy people gifts for Christmas.
I'm starting to get sad because I don't know where this is
going. So I bought everyone in our family gifts.
Oh no.
And basically somebody told me those are stupid gifts that you're giving to.
That's so horrible.
And at that age, like I don't, at that age I was just like, wow, I picked bad gifts for my family.
That makes me sad.
I didn't realize that until later on, like especially with like when I'm buying a birthday gift for my wife. She just had her birthday in April. Or like I do have this like weird insecurity, like, is this a dumb gift?
Yeah.
Like is this good enough? And so part of that I think is why I don't love celebrations, because I feel like this unnecessary pressure to like perform for celebrations and things like that.
I'm so sorry that happened. No, that genuinely makes me sad.
Yeah.
And I'm sure people resonate with this. Like, it's terrifying for me to do the self-reflection of, like, where does that come from?
Yeah.
Like, I prefer to not spend a lot of time thinking about it, you know?
And what's really tough for me too is when I think about that and that comment that person made to me, knowing who they are, I don't think they were trying to hurt me or like trying to like, they were being careless with their words, I think. And it just, for a 7-year-old or however old I was, it cut way deeper than they probably thought I was expecting it to be.
Maybe that's why it's scary. Because then I think about like all the people that I've hurt, you know, and the people that, because I agree with you, like it's easy to make, I don't know if we want to go there. It's easy to make trauma about a person, right? I think sometimes like the person or the act is only a component of why we feel the way we feel, you know? I don't know. So thanks for sharing. I'm really sorry that happened.
I'm not saying that to make you feel bad for me.
But that is sad, dude. Like, think about that. Like, it's not to like villainize whoever it was, but that just makes me sad.
Yeah.
So,
well, I think our time with Steve, because Steve, that really helped me. It was my first time thinking about that moment in my life and realizing like, oh, that's where this insecurity comes from. That's where this like weird fear I have around gift giving comes from. Is this someone made a careless comment when I was 7 years old?
Do you feel empowered now that you know the origin? Or like what is...
Yeah, definitely.
That's how you feel now? That's good.
Yeah, I feel... I think it's looking at it now as a 28-year-old, it's just like, it's probably something I could have said if I just wasn't thinking. And like, also when you're seven, you don't realize how, everything that you're told when you're 7 years old, you take so seriously.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. And right. Now, being older, I just don't care that much about as much about what other people think about me as I did when I was 7 years old. And so it's easy. It's empowering for me to see 7 year old Josh and say, hey, the gifts you gave weren't stupid. You gave those gifts because you cared about your mom and your dad and your brother. And you're doing great. Just keep doing what you're doing. Don't listen to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm moving from sadness to now anger. Now I'm angry at whoever said that. Yeah, dude. How has that affected? Do you feel one thing that I've not been good at that I'm working on improving is like thinking about what I say before I say it. My brain does not jump to how are the words that I'm saying going to affect the person that I'm saying it to. I never think of that. Literally ever.
Yeah.
Which is a blind spot for me. And I think I desire to be better at that. Are you like that? How much time before you talk do you think about how your words are going to affect someone? And I know that's like a relative question, but.
No, I mean, to be honest, I feel like a strength of mine is like, has always been my words, if that makes sense. Like, I feel like I've always been a pretty well-spoken person, and I feel like I'm someone who thinks about what he said. Obviously, I've said stuff that I regret saying, but for the most part, I feel like I'm pretty cautious with my words, and maybe it's because words affect me a lot. Like, I would say my number one love language is words of affirmation.
Yeah.
So I understand the power of words, if that makes sense. If anything, I could see how I lean further to the other end of the spectrum where I say things that maybe I don't really believe or really mean, just to like get people to like, I think it's going to make people like me or whatever.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
It does.
Yeah.
It does. I'm thinking I'm scared to do this live. We might pivot to another topic.
No, just say
it. But I'm trying to think of things are coming up right now. I'm trying to think of like what happened in my childhood where now I feel weird about being celebrated. Mm. And it has to be something to do with mom. Like I don't know what.
Do you ever, let me ask you this question. Do you ever get like, what's your reaction when people, like your peers, or what's your reaction when you see other people like being celebrated or like celebrating themselves? Because I know what my reaction is for that.
To me, like the feeling, I don't know, I'm going to try to answer your question. I think of like, it's exhausting. That's the word that I think of. Mm-hmm. Like I think of people celebrating themselves or being the center of attention. I like what I resonate with is like fatigue and maybe slight like secondhand embarrassment.
Yeah.
You know, those two words. Mm-hmm. You're shaking your head. Do you agree?
Yeah, I think I feel that same thing. And part of me thinks that's not healthy.
I don't know. I don't think it is. Yeah. I actually think it's really unhealthy.
Yeah.
Like, I think as a result of that, it's easy to live a life where you're, like, just trying to do the next thing. Because it feels like you're never doing enough because you never recognize or reflect your accomplishments.
Yeah.
At least, like, that's kind of my situation, so.
Yeah, I think, like, I have friends who I get invited to their birthday party or whatever.
Yeah.
Or, and I'm like, okay, dude, how old are you? Like, I think I've said, once you turn like 15, no more birthday parties or whatever. That's such a bad way to look at things, dude, if I think about it.
Yeah. I agree. I think I know why it is. This makes me sad. I'm really unpacking this. I think mom, I love mom so much. And I'm not just saying that because I know she's going to listen to this. But I think about, I cringe at myself, like my 6, 7, 8-year-old self, at the way I treated mom sometimes when she tried to celebrate me. Like, I think mom, she deeply desired to be celebrated as a kid, and as a way of showing her love for me and you, she tried really hard to make us feel special. Mm-hmm. And there's this expectation as like a young kid that your mom is not cool, which is so lame, dude. Mm-hmm. I swear to God, if Josiah ever tells Amelia that she's not cool, it's going to be a bad day for him. And I think as probably a young developing kid, like, mom was trying to do something to make me feel special, and one of my friends, who's not even my friend, was like, oh, your mom's doing that. And then I, like, internalized that, like, oh, if other people try to celebrate you, you're lame. Therefore, you should just not do that. Which is so dumb, dude. And it's not dumb, but it makes me sad. Mm-hmm. Like, that now I'm going to be 26, and what makes me sad is, like, it's one thing when people are being careless, right, with their words. It's another thing when people are, like, their intentions are really good, and then we, like, because of our own pride and ego, like, make it about us, you know, and, like, stop embarrassing me, mom. Yeah. So, mom, I love you, and I'm sorry for the times where I was too cool for you. That's super lame. And I want you to know that I'm really sorry. So
that's beautiful. I think you're probably right in a lot of ways. I haven't even recognized your birthday is coming up literally this week. Right?
And a week from today on Monday.
Your birthday's on Monday?
Yeah, okay. The 26th.
Well, happy birthday, bro.
Thanks, dude.
I'm excited for this season of you and Amelia and Josiah's life, and I'm excited for you buying a house in Franklin. It's, I think,
yeah,
that's a huge accomplishment, and I don't want to just brush that under the rug. I think,
yeah,
that's exciting. There's something special about, maybe because,
and congrats to you.
Thank you, bro.
Who's also buying a house.
Thank you, bro.
Have you guys talked about that?
Oh, yeah. We've talked plenty about it. I want to focus on
Let's celebrate ourselves, Josh.
I think there's a big... There's something really
20-year-old homeowners.
Yeah. There's something really cool about buying a house in the town that you grew up in, especially for us. Like,
well, where we live is also, like, sick. Everyone wants to live here.
That's what I'm saying. It's hard to buy... I know a lot of people who grew up in Franklin... who will never be able to buy a house in Franklin.
Not us, and, Josh.
I just want to celebrate that you and Amelia have accomplished that together. And thanks. I know that there's a lot of work to be done, but I'm excited for you guys. And
thanks, man.
Proud of y'all.
Thank you.
Anything you want to say before we leave? I think that's a good place for us to end. Any last words of wisdom from a 25-year-old Eli? This will be the last time 25-year-old Eli's on the show.
Words of wisdom. Can I repeat some words of wisdom that I recently heard? I'm going to leave the source unknown. Figure out what you want. Disregard the opinion of others. And do so much volume that it would be unreasonable for you to fail.
I love that. Figure out what you want.
I don't know if that's the vibe we were going for, but that's what came to mind. That's
one more time. Figure out what you want.
Disregard the opinions of others and do so much volume that it would be unreasonable for you to fail.
I think that's good wisdom. I think
that's my quarter century mantra.
We'll end with that. Eli, I love you, bro. Thank you for being on the show.
Love you, man.
You're welcome back anytime. And to those of you listening, thank you for tuning in. We'll be back with more episodes soon. Have a great day.